Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Tuesday, February 18th. I'm Lisa Music reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, Wild Souls Ranch and Fortuna PD partner for equine therapy pilot program. Humboldt property owners seek tax relief, and two Humboldt County men charged with murder after bodies found in burned vehicle. Stay tuned. News on those stories and more coming right up. Interactions with horses are part of a unique pilot program between a Fortuna ranch and the city's police department. Daniel Mentz reports.
Wild Souls Ranch has been offering equine-assisted growth and learning experiences to youths for 13 years and has expanded that specialty to the Fortuna Police Department. The Fortuna-based ranch is a nonprofit organization providing high-quality equine therapeutic services to the most vulnerable populations, according to its website, including at-risk and post-foster care adopted youths. A February 11th presentation to the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors outlined the ranch's programs, including what Wild Souls Ranch Executive Director Murray Cook described as a really exciting pilot program. Wild Souls is, quote, uniquely positioned to respond to people that have a high exposure to trauma, she said, and, quote, we were able to find a really amazing partner in Casey Day, Fortuna's police chief. The program was described by Claire Edwards, Wild Souls program coordinator, and Cook.
So we served about 10 officers and dispatchers through our pilot program with Fortuna Police, and we used the cross-cutting measures assessment from the DSM-5, which measured across 13 different symptomologies. All of our officers were clinically significant in depression, anxiety, and anger, and we saw significant decreases in depression, anxiety, and anger over the course of their time in the program.
So this was an opt-in program, just so that you know the population specifically we're working with. It wasn't every single officer was meant to enroll. So this was officers that felt connected to this kind of work and that might have had an incident report or something of significance in their life in the last year that kind of called to them, hey, I need a little extra support. Casey Day was really supportive of his staff seeking out mental health support, but in the form of therapy, hadn't really, a lot of people chose this who weren't choosing therapy, like formal talk therapy.
Edwards and Denise Vaux, Wild Souls' lead equine specialist, are certified in what Edwards described as a national model of equine-assisted growth and learning. Through observations and interactions with horses, personal insights are gained. Cook said Wild Souls is seeking to expand services for adults with a focus on addressing trauma.
We're not interested in opening it up to all adults. We really want to focus on people that have a high exposure to trauma because that is how we're uniquely positioned, sort of our special sauce, if you will. And so looking at firefighters, EMTs, paramedics, dispatchers, because even the people on the phone, they have high trauma exposure having to lead those calls. Police officers, sheriff deputies, search and rescue, active military personnel, and veterans. So pretty broad range that we're looking to have, but basically helping people process different events in their lives and to find a better quality of life. We partner with the horses for a range of different reasons, but we find that they are our biggest mirrors. They can sense your heartbeat about 10 feet away, and they're really non-judgmental. So it's really hard to have a session with a horse and not take a look inside yourself, because they're going to mirror back to you everything that you're showing up with, whether it's whether you're being incongruent or you're having a tough day or you're feeling a lot of joy. The horse is going to mirror that for you.
The pilot program was paid for through fundraising. Wild Souls has served more than 500 youths since 2013, with each participating in an 18-month state-funded program led by a team including an equine specialist and a mental health professional. The Wild Souls program, called General Sessions, is open to any youth considered at risk or dealing with mental health issues. During a public comment session, Chief Day called in to say the pilot program has been a huge success and there are plans for a more permanent type of agreement with Wild Souls. Wild Souls programs resonate with Board Chair and Second District Supervisor Michelle Bushnell's own experiences.
I had a lot of trauma in my young years, and my horse was my outlet. And also when I was not in the great bonding era with him, if I was having a bad day, he would tell me to take a hike often by bucking me off. And it was incredible for me and was my one person that I could really communicate with and cry on and really had a great, you know, formed a great bond with my horse. And it really saved my life many times.
In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
In crime news, information on the two Humboldt County men arrested earlier this month on murder charges has been revealed by the Butte County Sheriff's Department. In a press release issued earlier today, the Butte County Sheriff's Office stated the two arrests in Humboldt County were in connection with the deaths of two men whose body were found inside a burned vehicle in Butte County late last month. The Butte County Sheriff's Office has identified the victims as 26-year-old Juan Daniel Ariola Solano of Eureka and 22-year-old Ezequiel Valle Arellano of San Diego. Investigators say both men were shot and killed before their vehicle was set on fire in a remote area near Oroville on January 30th. Authorities now say that two Humboldt County residents, 45-year-old Wesley Laverne Evans of Rio Dell and 43-year-old Samuel Terry Ashley of Ferndale, are suspected of carrying out the killings. The investigation led by the Butte County Sheriff's Office and CAL FIRE law enforcement revealed that Arellano Solano and Valle Arellano had traveled from Humboldt County to Oroville that morning, accompanied by Evans and Ashley. Detectives say the victims and suspects arrived in the area of Condor and Red Tape Roads, where a dispute broke out between Ashley and one of the victims, reportedly over a gun and drug transaction. Shortly afterwards, Ariola Solano and Valle Arellano were fatally shot, and their vehicle was set on fire. Fire crews responded to the burning vehicle around 10:30 a.m., later discovering the victims inside. A forensic pathologist determined that they had died from gunshot wounds before the fire. Authorities say Evans and Ashley fled the scene, returning to Humboldt County. Days later, on February 10th, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office SWAT team, with the assistance from Butte County investigators and CAL FIRE law enforcement, arrested both suspects. Search warrants were executed at their homes before they were transported to the Butte County Jail on February 14th. The arrests were initially shrouded in secrecy, with Butte County authorities withholding key details, including the victims' identities and the crime scene location, for 8 days. Meanwhile, on the day of the arrest, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office confirmed it had assisted in executing out-of-county warrants, deploying its armored Bearcat vehicle. Evans was taken into custody in Rio Dell just before noon, while Ashley was arrested later that afternoon in Ferndale. Both suspects have previous encounters with law enforcement. Ashley, previously of Oroville, has a record in Butte County, while Evans has multiple prior arrests in Humboldt County. Evans and Ashley are now in custody at the Butte County Jail and are scheduled to be arraigned today, February 18th. Authorities emphasize that this case remains under investigation. Anyone with information regarding the murder of Ariano Solano and Valle Arellano are encouraged to call the Butte County Sheriff's Office tip line at 530-538-7322. We'll continue to follow this developing story. In property crime, vandalism and theft reported at Sequoia Park Zoo. Eureka police are seeking information about four individuals suspected of vandalism and theft at the Sequoia Park Zoo on February 16th. Authorities say the suspects entered a secured animal area, stole items from the gift shop, and deliberately destroyed a bench by throwing it off the skywalk. Fortunately, no people or animals were harmed. Anyone with information is urged to contact forensic analyst Michael at 707-441-4308. Photos of the suspects can be viewed at kmud.org. In other crime news, Joseph LaRue, a fugitive with a history of evading law enforcement in both Oregon and California, has been arrested again, this time alongside his wife, Katina Baker, on an out-of-county burglary warrant. The pair were taken into custody on February 17th and are currently being held at the Humboldt County Correctional Facility on $500,000 bail each. They are scheduled to appear before a judge on Thursday, February 20th, to face these latest charges. LaRue, 38, was previously wanted in Josephine County, Oregon, on multiple charges, including animal cruelty and cannabis-related offenses. In 2022, he and an ex-wife were subjects of a law enforcement investigation after authorities discovered over a dozen malnourished dogs at their business, Positive Canine Solutions, in Grants Pass, Oregon, as well as numerous neglected animals at their residence in Selma, Oregon. These findings led to multiple animal cruelty and neglect charges against the couple. After fleeing Oregon, LaRue became involved in a series of incidents in California. On October 15, 2024, he reportedly sustained a gunshot wound during a domestic dispute with his new wife, Katina Baker, in Redway, California, before escaping from responding law enforcement. This incident initiated a manhunt that culminated on November 3, 2024, when Humboldt County Sheriff's Office deputies, acting on an anonymous tip, located LaRue near Fortuna. Upon attempting to flee, LaRue was apprehended and found in possession of methamphetamine, a stolen vehicle, 12 firearms, and additional stolen property. He was subsequently booked on multiple charges. Despite the severity of these charges and his history of fleeing, LaRue was released in January 2025 after posting an $8,500 bail bond for the $85,000 bail set for him. Judge Wilson's decision to grant bail at this reduced amount sparked outrage within the community, given LaRue's extensive history of evading law enforcement. The details surrounding the latest burglary charges that led to the February 17th arrests of LaRue and Baker have not been disclosed. However, during the November arrest, they were allegedly found in possession of stolen property, raising questions about potential connections between the incidents. The Humboldt County Correctional Facility has confirmed that both individuals remain in custody on $500,000 bail each and are slated to appear in court on Thursday, February 20th, to address the current charges. At the time of LaRue's release from jail in January, a subsequent hearing was set for February 19th. It is unknown at this time if he is still slated to attend that scheduled court hearing. Last week, over 50 staff at Providence St. Joseph's in Eureka, along with National Union of Healthcare Workers, took to the streets from Napa to Humboldt County as they held an informational picket to rally for fair contract negotiations across all of its Northern California campuses. Ryan Hudson has the story in Eureka.
Healthcare workers at Providence hospitals throughout the northern part of the state, including at St. Joseph Hospital in Eureka, held down the picket line demanding fair negotiations and a better wage across six different locations in Northern California on Wednesday. The National Union of Healthcare Workers, known as NUHW, represents over 2,000 Northern California members who work in various positions throughout the hospital. At the picket line in Eureka, I spoke with Jennifer, a dietitian and a union member with NUHW, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. I'm a dietitian here at St. Joe's and Redwood Memorial Hospital. We're here today because we have been watching Providence slowly cut away our services in this area, cut back on wages, vacation, health insurance to our caregivers who are here to care for our patients in this community. We are also the patients in this community. Providence has come and taken over the majority of our, medical facilities in this area is now run by Providence. Providence has been cutting so many services and does not pay the market rate and does not offer us what other hospitals across the state provide.
So not a competitive wage.
Not at all. Dietitians have always been a small group, but when I started here 10 years ago, between the two hospitals, there were 7 dietitians. Now there are 4 between the two hospitals. In addition, I've watched other staff, other departments get smaller, patients wait longer. For my department, if one of us goes on vacation or gets sick, the rest of us have to scramble because we have no backup. We have no help. And then not of all of our patients get seen. But we should be able to take time off. We can't work every day. But not staffing us sufficiently is only hurting patient care and making us work longer and burn out quicker. We've learned that Providence will say that they want high turnover. They only want people here for a year or two before they move on because they don't want to offer competitive wages. They don't want to offer full staffing because they don't want to spend the money on the community. They want to save their money. They've opened a venture capital fund with $150 million they've gotten in not-for-profit. So they are not caring about any of the communities that they are in. They are coming in and wiping out services and leaving us scrambling for health care. Those other facilities that are also putting on an informational picket today, they're being now more burdened because we're sending our patients to them and they cut services down there as well, so they can't take on more.
Right. From your perspective, if you had an opportunity to speak directly or convey a message directly to the CEO or executive director of Providence here, what would that message be?
I suppose my message to Providence or to the CEO would be Providence is a healthcare company. They are supposed to be committing to the communities that they are in and supporting those communities and helping them grow and helping those services flourish and take care of their community, their people, their caregivers, whether it be their employees or their patients. But all we see you doing is coming in and taking away and stripping us of our long-time established medical facilities when we are already in a huge deficit of medical care in this area and in all the areas that they're starting to strip things away.
Union members say that a pay increase and a fair benefits package would improve staffing levels, reduce turnover, and safeguard services for patients at each of Providence's 6 hospital locations between Napa, Sonoma, and Humboldt counties. We spoke with a local ER nurse who showed up to support the healthcare workers, explaining that although she is a member of a nursing union, there simply are not enough hands to go around and that having help is a critical element of providing quality care. Pat Kanzler had this to say.
I am going to give you the nurse's perspective here.
Okay.
People are always talking about, oh, there's a nurse shortage. No, there is not a nurse shortage. There's a lot of nurses out there, but they're getting burned out because they're not being paid for all the work that they do, for the overtime they're asked to do, for the more patients they're taking care of. And not only that, not only taking care of patients, we love that, but it's the responsibility. So what happens if you're taking care of 5 patients and one of them slips up? You've got to have help. You've got to have solidarity. You need to be paid, respected for what you do. And that's the problem right there, okay? No, the nurses, we do have enough, but they're burned out. And they're burned out because they're not being paid.
And that's where the National Union of Healthcare Workers, those staff members come in,
right.
Integral to the larger picture, right?
Right. They're not being paid either, and they should be paid. The fact is what they're doing right now, they're helping people remain well. They're helping us do our job. The nurses help the doctors. It, like I said, it's like dominoes. Everybody works together, and they need to get paid, respected for what they're doing.
I also spoke with Renee Contreras of the Eureka City Council in her capacity as a community member while visiting the picket line in support of unionized workers. And this is what she had to say.
Well, look, I mean, it's no different than any other critical service. So take firefighting or police, for example. You know, if your pay is too low, you have difficulty recruiting and you have difficulty retaining. And so when you have difficulty recruiting and retaining, your numbers fall below what they need to be and safety is compromised. And so that's the bottom line.
After 10 months of fruitless negotiations, NUHW union members are demanding a fair employment contract with competitive wages, saying into the bullhorn, "Better pay, so we stay." Reporting for KMUD News in Eureka, this is Ryan Hudson.
Better pay, so we stay. 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 So we stay.
Rural Humboldt County property owners are exploring ways to lower their taxes with the help of a nearly 50-year-old California law. Proposition 8, passed in 1978, allows for temporary property tax reductions when real estate loses value due to market conditions, natural disasters, or other factors. Under this provision, homeowners can request a reassessment to lower their tax bill until the property value recovers. This tax relief measure, part of the California's Revenue and Taxation Code, Section 51A2, helps ensure property owners aren't overtaxed when their home or land is worth less than before. Sigur Bjorn reports.
During Humboldt County's Green Rush, property values skyrocketed, especially in rural areas, both before and after the legalization of marijuana in 2016. It was not uncommon for parcels of land to sell for 10 times their previous value. A $100,000 property might have gone for $1 million, while a $300,000 parcel could fetch $3.2 million. These prices were largely driven by out-of-area investors eager to cash in on the cannabis industry boom they expected after the passage of Prop 64, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. But that boom never materialized. Last-minute political maneuvering and complex regulatory hurdles left both new cannabis entrepreneurs and legacy growers struggling to survive. The anticipated legal pot windfall never came, at least not in Humboldt County. Instead of cashing in on cannabis profits, many property owners are now left with hefty tax bills based on inflated property values from the height of the Green Rush. Rural properties that once sold for millions are now selling for a fraction of their former price, sometimes as little as a quarter of the peak value. However, those who bought during the market boom remain stuck with tax assessments based on their high purchase price. With foreclosures and bankruptcies on the rise and the region's economy in decline, property owners are searching for ways to cut costs and stay afloat. One potential solution? A decades-old California tax law that could finally provide some relief. This is Humboldt County Assessor Howard Lahey.
As the cannabis industry has waned in the last several years, those property values have decreased. So anybody that bought property at that peak, and if you're still owning that property, there's a chance that those values are inflated.
Mark Switzer is one of those property owners.
I live out in Palo Verde. I have two properties up there that have greatly devalued. I have a property with a shed on it that's currently valued at $368,000. I believe the cash sale of that property would be lucky if it was 50 right now.
Mark is far from alone. KMET has heard examples of owners who are paying $1,000 to $1,200 a month in taxes on properties that are now a fraction of their previous value. But without the income that was supposed to come with the passing of Prop 64, many of these property owners have struggled to pay their taxes, some forced to file for bankruptcy.
I think we've all seen quite a few people lose their properties.
Some property owners who are struggling to meet their tax bills may be unaware that there is a possible relief in the form of Prop 8. County Tax Assessor Howard Lahey again.
And so what Prop 8 does is allows the county assessor to reassess a property. So when you're on Prop 8, it's a temporary decline in value. You're reassessed to whatever the market value is for that year. So to qualify like for a Prop 8, we will review the property. We'll figure out what is the value as of January 1st for that particular year they applied for. And we'll look for comparable sales in the area that reflect the market for wherever the property is located at. And then once that value is determined, we look at what is the current base year value of the owner's property.
A base year value is essentially the worth of the property when it was purchased or upgraded.
And if it's the base year value is higher than what that market value, then that's when it gets enrolled into Prop 8.
So if your property's value decreases, you apply to the county for a reappraisal and your taxes get reduced. So far, so good. But the reappraisal process is not without its snags and hiccups. Mark Switzer, for instance, says he has been waiting for over a year for his property to be reassessed by the tax assessor's office.
I put in I believe it's been over a year and a half that I put in a application with them. And the word at their level is that they have a 2-year waiting. They're allowed 2 years to review it.
Howard Lahey disputes Mark's claim.
I am not familiar with any Prop 8 requests that go out 2 years that we haven't reviewed. Just since July of this last of 2024, we've received about 87 applications for Prop 8. I believe that we've processed about almost half of those.
Howard adds that out of those 40 reappraisals, only 2 were denied because they did not meet the Prop 8 requirement. Though he denies that the county can and does allow itself 2 years to reassess property values, Howard concedes that the wait times are too long. The reason, he says, are cuts in budget and staff.
When I started working in the assessor's office about 18 years ago, we had 37 staff members. We only have 27 now. And so we've gone down, 10 employees. That's a quarter of your staff. That's part of the reason we're having some of these backlogs that we're trying to work on.
Out of the 27 staff at the assessor's office, 7 are dedicated to private properties. This backlog has created frustration in the community, leading to speculation that the county is intentionally dragging its feet in order to keep the tax dollars in its shrinking coffers. Property owner Mark Switzer again.
Honestly, would anyone really be surprised? I mean, it's not really in their best interest to do it.
Howard refutes this.
I do not agree that we're dragging our feet. We are trying to reassess properties as soon as we can, regardless whether it's going to increase the value for property tax revenue or decrease it for refunds to the property owner. That has no stake in whether or not we're reassessing it. For us, it's more of staffing issues and workload. We process in the neighborhood of 6,000 to 7,000 recorded documents annually. And of those, we probably reassess in the neighborhood of 1,500 to 2,000 properties every year. That's just for change of ownership. It doesn't include new construction, permits, Prop 8, things like that. And we have 7 staff that do that.
Despite delays in the process, Prop 8 is a viable option for those struggling to pay their taxes on properties that may have decreased in value. And Howard encourages people to get in touch with his office.
If they have questions or concerns, please don't hesitate to contact our office and try to be patient. We are, we have a good amount of staff that are working hard and trying to get their change of ownership and reappraisals done in a timely manner.
More information on Prop 8 can be found on the website of California's Board of Equalization. You can also reach out to the Humboldt County Tax Assessor's Office through their website at humboldtgov.org or by calling them at 707-445-7663. This is Sigurd Bjørn reporting for KMET.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Katie Phillips, and thanks to our reporters, Daniel Mintz, Ryan Hudson, and Sagir Bjorn. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, I'm Lisa Music.